Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors take their first home loss of the season, and not only that, they lose Steph Curry for a little bit of time, it looks like, as he has a groin strain. It's not real serious, but they played without Draymond Green. They didn't play well, really, for the first time. I mean, they had a loss on their ledger on the road at Denver, but this was really the first game where they looked lost in the game, even when Curry was in there. What were your thoughts about the way they played against the Bucks, which, you know, they have a really good team, so it's not like you could just waltz through a game against Milwaukee?
Well, two things. The Bucks are the real deal, and the Warriors had one of those stink bombs that every NBA team throws out during the season. And of course they didn't have Draymond Green. If Draymond Green was there, I'm not sure they win anyway. The way that the Bucks were playing and the way that the Warriors were kind of sleepwalking through the night, although less of a chance to sleepwalk with Draymond Green on the court, and you kind of see his value as sort of the defensive captain as well as the heart and soul, the engine, and that could kind of get him fired up. And it was just missing last night, and it was evident in a lot of different ways, including a lot of reaching fouls. And, you know, they have that tendency when they're playing poorly, they'll do that. But I think everybody takes the big picture view of this, that, you know, they've been playing pretty well lately. Curry left the game. What was it, in the third quarter? Draymond didn't play. Milwaukee is playing very well right now. They're an up-and-coming team in the East. Everybody talks about Toronto and Boston, but Milwaukee has to be considered in that group as well. And, you know, Antetokounmpo is becoming one of the great stars of this game. You throw it all together, and all the signs were pointing down for the Warriors last night.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have Draymond Green out there defensively and you have one of the best players in the league in Giannis, it has to be pretty tough. And I felt bad for Jordan Bell because he gets the start. He gets a couple of quick fouls. It really took him out of his game. And, you know, he just seemed overmatched there.
Yeah. I mean, they needed to have a lot go right for them defensively, and it didn't early on in the game. And so, you know, he ends up being a little tentative. And like I said, they had some reaching fouls, had some missed shots, some turnovers. And, you know, this is one of those teams, you know, you hear the phrase, they play downhill. You know, all these years, one of the great downhill players was LeBron, right? Well, you have to put the Greek Freak right there, right? And plus, he's got some good help, too. Guys like Middleton and Brogdon had a very good night. He had Ilyasova, he had Connaughton. I mean, they had some really good balance. And they're the kind of team that when they're on, they can give the Warriors some trouble because, you know, they can play physical and they have some length to them.
Oh, yeah. And Bledsoe had a great game. 26 points.
Bledsoe, yeah.
Yeah, he actually led the way, 10 of 12. From the field in this game. You know, he really showed that he can be a force. I mean, he was dealing the ball too. He had 6 assists. And as you mentioned, Connaughton, I mean, he was getting away from people. That's where I saw that the Warriors didn't have the defensive desire, when I saw Connaughton just getting open and nobody really able to follow him.
No, they didn't rotate real well. You know, they didn't do much of anything well defensively. And that, you know, denotes a lack of energy. It's just one of those things that in the 82-game schedule can happen where, you know, they're just not firing. And they can see what's happening, and they can't get themselves to fire sometimes mid-game. Sometimes. Now, this team, as we know, two of the things they do really well, when they're down 15 or 20, they have the firepower to come back against anybody, anytime. We know that. So you almost expect that to happen. It didn't happen last night. It never even had a chance of happening. The Bucks came out the start of the second half and only lengthened the lead. But the other thing the Warriors do well is they bounce back from these kinds of losses. And I would anticipate that against Brooklyn, even without Curry, even without Draymond.
You know, I think we learned a lot here in the first few weeks of the season about the Warriors bench. But, you know, with McKinney, it seemed like he just came down to earth. You know, he was sky high there. He was hitting a lot of great shots and, you know, getting rebounds, using his long arms defensively. But he goes 2 of 10 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. And I hope he didn't lose confidence in this game.
Well, I don't think he will. Maybe he did for this game. I'm not sure. It was kind of a different kind of team to play, but you know, he's a tremendous jumper and, you know, pretty gifted physically himself, and he's got a lot of different aspects to his game that we're starting to see, including a mid-range jumper, by the way. So I think that, well, time will tell on that. This guy doesn't have a great deal of league experience. Sure, like what I've seen so far, and if he is a bona fide member of this team for the long haul, he's going to have to overcome games like that. I think he will.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk about life without Steph Curry for a little while, and we'll hear from head coach Steve Kerr right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Is your heater ready to take on the winter? Maybe it's time to warm up and save some money. Enviro is ready to do maintenance on your system to get ready for winter. They also do service and replacement with no charge for an estimate to replace. Also, with all of the rodent issues we're having lately, don't worry. Enviro does duct cleaning as well to help stop that problem. And since the EPA ranks indoor air pollution among the top 5 health risks, it's a good idea to find out what is in your ducts. Call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Well, on Friday, the Warriors had a practice, and Steve Kerr met with the media, and he talked about the task at hand at practice after the loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's listen in.
Well, if this were 1956, they would have been running sprints all day. But it's 2018, so we watched film, and we walked through some things, and it was a very short day. The film tells the story. This is the NBA. When you're playing a great team, and Milwaukee's a great team, if you're a step late, step slow, if your mind is not quite there, you're going to be in trouble. And I think I said it last night, Milwaukee coming off a loss, a day to be angry and be upset. They were a step ahead of us all night in every capacity, coaching-wise, too. You know, I didn't coach a very good game. So, but this is the NBA, 82 games. There are nights when you let your guard down. And the important thing in the league is you can't let your guard down multiple times in a row. That, now you have no momentum. Now you don't have a team. But we've all been through this. We got smacked around last night, and now it's up to us to be the aggressor, be a step ahead defensively, making our rotations, boxing out, all the things that we didn't do last night. We've got to have our antenna ready to go tomorrow. And then as a staff, we've got to do a good job of putting the right combinations on the floor with as many guys as we have out. We got to find the right groups together.
All right, that's Steve Kerr. He summed it up really well right there, Ray. Talking about, you know, what the Warriors need to do. And, you know, we seem to be talking about this type of situation quite a few times last year and no times this year, zero. I mean, this is the first time you wondered about their motivation for a game and also a game where you're going to have this Brooklyn game. You're going to have a couple of guys out, like we said, Steph Curry, Draymond Green won't be playing in that game. So, you know, it definitely makes it a little different as far as playing time and what Steve Kerr decides.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue for him is, you know, player groupings now. What are the rotations going to be like? And, he's going to need to get a couple of guys back as well. So I think they're going to be okay. Still got Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, for example. They're going to need a little more bench help, for sure. They're going to need some scoring from a place that maybe they don't expect it, you know, get a few extra points that way. But, you know, I think against Brooklyn, they'll be okay. You know, against Boston, against Milwaukee, it's going to be problematic. But I think he's right. Don't put together multiple poor efforts, because then you really have lost your momentum. And they didn't do that last year until the very end. But that was a year that did not live up to one of his core principles, which is joy. You know, one of the four principles Steve Kerr has for playing basketball. There was not a lot of joy last year for much of the season. I mean, there was some because of the Warriors. They're awfully fun to watch, and they have their nights. But I think it was just about getting through the slog of that long season, especially after starting off in China. I think they did have an effect on them. This year, they've been much fresher, much sharper, but that doesn't make you immune from having a lousy game once in a while, and that's what they had the other night. I would like to heard more about why Kerr thought he didn't coach a good game. I mean, aside from looking at the score sheet, you know, I mean, and he's pretty good at self-deprecating humor, so I wonder what he would have to say about that. I felt like he was going to get run from this game. You know, it's going to be one of those out of hell with it, you know, moments. Finally, I think it's like, okay, it's 25 or 30 points. I'm not going to fire these guys up. You know, it's just not going to happen. But, you know, maybe in terms of substitutions, maybe in terms of getting the guys ready and prepared, you know, coach is going to say, well, what did I do wrong here? Because this was, you know, a bad game for them. But it, you know, I mean, I said at the end of last season, was anybody thinking about November losses when they were in the finals?
No.
And they were, you know, sweeping the Cavaliers? No, nobody was thinking about that. Nobody's going to think about this game, except, of course, it's Milwaukee. And they're a team on the rise, without a doubt. Like last year when they lost to Boston, blowing 17-point leads twice, that concerned some people because there was a thought that Boston might come out of the East. Well, they didn't. It was once again LeBron and the Cavaliers, but this is one of those teams that's going to come in fired up to play the Warriors. You know that because they presume to be a challenger out of the East, and I think that the team's coming out of the East now a little stronger. It's not just about LeBron and everybody else. You got some legitimate threats to the Warriors who are going to be coming out of the East, and I think that is something that's going to keep them engaged all year as they play those games against those Eastern teams. And, of course, when you get DeMarcus Cousins back.
Oh, yeah, and there's a game on the schedule actually at the end of the month in Toronto that kind of looms large.
Yep.
Yeah, that's on TNT. I mean, that's a game definitely you circle on the calendar. But, you know, as far as Steve Kerr and the way he coached this game, I think he was just a little frustrated that his team didn't make a run at the Bucks, because that usually happens. I mean, usually third quarter, they make some kind of a run, and it just kind of told you the team was out of it in the game. And I do think he is frustrated with the officiating, and I know, you know, all coaches get that way, but this year I think a lot of the coaches are frustrated because everything is getting called, and it's just really hard to play defense. I mean, it's harder than it even was before. What do you think, Ray?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it's everybody's in that adjustment period, too, since we're still in November. And it does get frustrating. And we saw that in the preseason game when Kerr got run. And they were teeing up players. You know, it's like, either you have to be really messing up to get somebody mad in a preseason game.
Right.
Or they're really frustrated about something else. And I think it's, you know, certain referees in particular, and especially the younger ones, you know that they're going to go overboard because they're still trying to establish themselves when there's a new point of emphasis. They're going to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. You know, so you'll see them make a lot of these calls, but also the veteran referees, too. They're going to try to implement this as far as not impeding movement off the ball and things like that. And as I said earlier, that's going to benefit the Warriors, too. I mean, it's going to benefit Steph Curry. He's off to a tremendous start this year, and I think it's only going to get better. I just think players, defenses have to figure out a way to, you know, continue working on staying with their defensive assignment without, you know, getting the referee's attention. That's what it's about, you know. It's not necessarily about not impeding their movement. It's about what you can get away with. And so they're trying to figure out what they can get out of every defender is trying to figure out what they can get away with as far as a grab or a hold or whatever. And, I mean, a lot of defenses were getting away with a lot with Steph Curry over the last few years, especially you'd see in the finals, they were tackling him.
Yeah.
That's the book, right? You know, so they can't do that as much now, but they're still going to try.
Speaking of Curry, he's going to be out for, I'm just going to guess, a few games here because, you know, it's a strain. It's not real serious, but he's definitely not playing Saturday against Brooklyn. I would think, you know, you could say he's definitely not playing in L.A. against the Clippers on Monday. And then the next day, there's another game on Tuesday. So I would think those three games are out, and maybe you think about him coming back against the Rockets, which is on Thursday, which, you know, as we speak here, that would be the coming Thursday. What do you think? I mean, that would be the game I would point towards.
Yeah, you'd hope so because, you know, that's one of the teams that you still want to beat, although the Rockets got off to a slow start. I mean, I'm no expert on groins, but groin injuries. But I would say that, that's probably about right. So, you know, hopefully he's able to come back right near 100%. It sounded like a mild to moderate issue with the groin. So it doesn't sound terribly serious. You just want to make sure that neither he nor Draymond is out for significant periods of time. And the same thing with Draymond. It does not appear to be a serious injury or long-term deal. But you want to get them back on the court so they can get their rhythm. But in the meantime, I mean, KD will be the focus of the offense for sure, and Clay will, you know, they'll try to space it so Clay can get his shots as well. And just a couple of things about Clay. Once again, the mid-range jump shot is coming along, and his passing ability is continuing to improve as the years go on. I just have such an appreciation for his game because, you know, people know he's an incredible shooter, one of the greatest ones this game has seen, an explosive scorer, but he does things night in, night out now, and especially on the defensive end. He's such an all-around player and is another one of those guys. You know, people talk about Draymond being the glue of the team, but that defense doesn't work also without Clay having the ability to take on the other team's top scorer, you know, in the backcourt, one-on-one. That frees up the defense to do a lot of things.
Well, without Steph, you're going to have Quinn Cook starting at the point guard position. Yeah. And it seems like that experience he got last year was invaluable. It really gave him a lot more confidence. And as Steve Kerr was talking about, you know, when you don't play a lot and then all of a sudden you're starting, that's not an easy thing to do. And Quinn Cook seems to have the mindset to be able to pull that off.
Well, yeah, and I think that he didn't earlier this year because I think he was struggling with his confidence, struggling with his shot a little bit. In the last win, he played a whole lot better and shot a lot better, so that's good to have that experience in your back pocket, recent experience. But, you know, a guy like that, and, you know, you have to be this way when you have this assemblage of talent around you and you're playing on the best team on the planet. They encourage him, but they also expect him to take the bull by the horns. When you get a shot, take it. You have an opportunity, you know, score. So he's kind of been the complimentary guy off the bench. Once in a while, he's an alpha dog, but I think he's got to be more of that now. The shots will be there for him. I think they really will. They're going to focus on Clay and KD. So he's going to have a chance, and if he's knocking him down with any kind of regularity, they should be okay. He doesn't have to score 30 or 35, right? I mean, just be efficient enough to provide a tertiary scoring option, and that should do.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the other guys on the bench and how they're playing? You know, I mentioned McKinney already, a little bit about Bell, who got the start. You know, what do you think as far as just overall performance by these guys? I mean, Jarepko's another guy who it's either Jarepko or Jarepko. I'm kind of caught in between because I know some announcers are calling him Jarepko, and some are saying Jarepko. But anyway, he seems to be a little streaky with his, you know, the three-point shooting, but very confident to take it every once in a while, and a good guy to, you know, just to come off the bench and give you some muscle.
Yeah, and he can rebound for you, and he can pass some, and he can hit that three-pointer. I think he's, you know, ever since that tip-in to win the game, he's been playing pretty well overall for the Warriors. It's nice to have that because you weren't sure what you'd be able to count on off the bench from Jarepko or Jarepko. I think both is okay, by the way. But I heard him say, if you want to call me Jonas, it's okay. Jonas is okay, the Americanized. I'm cool with that. I don't know if he's messing with us or not, but I'll figure it out when I talk to him and see if he corrects me. That's the best way.
Right.
He might be in a mood that day where he just wants to mess with me. But he's been a good addition off the bench. There's no doubt about it. He's playing the way I think they wanted Caspi to play last year, and he never really did. And, you know, seeing McKinney take advantage of the opportunity with McCaw out there and with players sitting, some of the veteran players sitting earlier in the year, I think that's purposeful. Want to give these guys some run to see exactly how much they can contribute. And then when your veteran guys like Livingston are coming back on a regular basis, you'll adjust accordingly, and you'll have a little better depth off the bench. You know, the only thing is I wanted to see who would be the dynamic scorer if there be a guy you can count on 4 points off the bench, and you hope Cook is going to be that guy, and McKinney has been for a couple of games too, and so has Yarepko. So it's kind of changed hands in that way. I don't think they've nailed down who's the guy in the rotation you can come in when, say, Steph Curry is out, where you can get points, from distance. But it has been a different guy with different games, and that's good. Just eventually, they need to find out who they can count on.
You threw in the name Patrick McCaw, and he seems like the forgotten guy. He's been sitting this thing out, and just a couple of days ago, there was a report about how the Warriors are still talking to him. I mean, what do you think the future is here? I mean, do they need him? Do they want him? It sounds like they do. I mean, McKinney isn't totally proven over a course of a whole year to maybe take that spot. So I'm intrigued by how this is going to play out.
Yeah, and we've all kind of said our piece about McCaw, right?
Right.
What are you thinking? What are you doing? And it sounds like he's gotten some bad advice. So you have to kind of qualify those comments. But if the Warriors are still willing to talk to him, fine. And I don't blame them for doing so. I mean, you just cover all your bases, right? Like you said, McKinney, you're not sure if you hope, and he's given promising signs, but you're not sure if he's going to be there for the whole year. So, see what's going on with McCaw, and it certainly sounds like nobody else is knocking on his door. So maybe you could work something out long term. As time goes on and, he has zero leverage in this situation, he may come back for what they originally wanted to pay him.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
All right, as we look around the league, some of the surprises really are the teams that are not playing well to me, Ray. I mean, just to see how the Rockets are playing, to be 4-6 as we sit here and chat, and 1-6 in conference games so far. That is kind of scary for them. Minnesota being 4-8, I thought they'd be better than that. And then LeBron and the Lakers being under 500 at 5-6. Yeah, it's just kind of surprising. I mean, I know it's going to be a long season, and a lot of teams can kind of have an ebb and flow, I think, in the Western Conference. But right now, you got to be disappointed if you're a fan of those teams.
Yeah, I think so. Houston lost a couple of their best defenders. There's drama in Minnesota, and Jimmy Butler, I guess, wants to be traded.
Yeah.
And, butting heads with a lot of different people. And so there's some discord there, and a little bit of discord in L.A. and pressure on Luke Walton. And listen, LeBron's the man, and Luke had to know that when LeBron came in, he's not really the coach of the team anymore. I mean, in name he is, but, he's done some good things in this league, but he's not LeBron. So everybody knows when LeBron comes in, he's going to run the show. And, this is kind of the criticism of LeBron over the years. He couldn't get along with Kyrie in the end, and that was a great combination. That was a great threat to the Warriors, those two. And then Kyrie ends up in Boston, that he kind of wants to have a team his way, so he's the man, and everybody else plays a supporting role. Well, this is a pretty young team overall. They've gotten a couple of veteran pickups, but how does all that flesh out, right? When all the cards hit the table, who's in what role, and how do they figure all that out playing with LeBron? And, at the same time, you get young players who you're trying to develop. Are they thinking about deferring to LeBron a little bit too much? To tell you the truth, this is stuff I've been hearing because I was down in L.A. yesterday, and I've got my sister's a big Lakers fan and her husband. So we were talking a lot about this stuff, and just from the fans' point of view, they love having one of the greatest players on the planet, and the Lakers have always gotten the big star historically, going back to when they traded for Wilt 50 years ago. And it's worked out most of the time, but there's a chance this won't. I was talking to my wife at the start of the year, and she's like, "Oh no, we got to see LeBron more. Oh, now they got to worry about the Lakers." And I said, "I don't know if the Warriors have to worry about the Lakers because they're still not that strong. That roster is still, not complete. They're going to be better, and I think they will play better basketball as the season goes on, and LeBron gets used to them, and vice versa. But there's a little bit of drama there, and there always is around LeBron."
No doubt. And right now, the Clippers are the better team. And the Warriors are playing the Clippers, as I mentioned earlier, on Monday in L.A. And, you know, that's a team that I don't think people really were giving a chance at the beginning of the season. But, you know, we knew about Lou Williams and his scoring ability, but they're getting a lot of scoring right now out of Gallinari and Tobias Harris. So, you know, maybe they could be a surprise team.
Well, yeah, they've got some complementary pieces there. I think they've put together a decent squad. And, you know, the thing about when they had Chris Paul, when they had Blake Griffin, and Chris Paul's a hell of a competitor, but and he had so much bad luck with injuries. There's no doubt about it in L.A. And then they had all the crap surrounding that racist slumlord, Donald Sterling.
Oh, yeah.
They had to go through that. There's always been something with them, right? And Blake Griffin, who has had some big moments with Detroit, but up to this point, I have not considered him a winning player, and clearly the Warriors got inside his head. So it wasn't working for them. They weren't getting by the Warriors one way, so try to recast it in a different direction. And, you know, here's the other part of it. Jerry West's hand with the Clippers as an advisory role, just about everything this guy touches is gold, you know, when it comes to working with the front office. So that's a team to watch down the road, too, in the West, as these other teams are kind of repositioning themselves. I mean, Utah's on the rise. Denver's on the rise. You know, Oklahoma City's hanging in there. Houston seems to be on the downward slope now, although, again, I think they'll play a little bit better. But there's an opportunity there. And, of course, Portland is off to a very good start, too, at 9-3. But there's an opportunity for the Clippers to still be a factor in the West. Are they going to be a thorn in the side of the Warriors like they were 5 years ago? Probably not. By the way, the Warriors solved that problem, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is one of those things where you see how the Warriors respond now after losing to the Bucks. So we'll talk about it next week, and we'll have all the answers after we see how they play, you know, without Curry for maybe a few games, and of course without Draymond on Saturday at least, and you know, see what the response is from the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, a chance for some guys to step up. They're going to get some opportunity for some more minutes. Chance to see how Steve Kerr works out the rotations, and you know, you'd hate to see these guys hurt. Makes it a little interesting just to see how they're going to fare in this situation. You know, at the end of the year, they'll probably be atop the West, and they'll have 60-65 wins. I mean, who's going to bet against that at this point with the kind of team they have? Hopefully they get the top seed this time. I wasn't that worried about having the number two seed last year and losing the home court to Houston, although it almost cost them. But I feel a little bit better if they just clinch the home court this year all the way through.
Well, I think they're pretty determined to do that this year, so yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right, Ray, thanks a lot, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.